No, it's true. I was out on a 20-mile jog when the Lord gave me this message called How to Stop Lying. Of course, none of you have ever had a problem with lying, right? Yeah. Who's, just give me a wave if you've never had a problem with lying. You lie. And I don't have a problem with lying. I'll just tell them. The problem with lying is that you start to believe them. That's the problem with lying. Human beings are filled with fear and anxiety, all kinds of problems and issues. And part of the problem for us is that we believe things that aren't true. We not only tell lies, we swallow those porkies all the time about God, about ourselves, about life. You start to believe these lies and live on these lies. And the big problem is the lies. They're actually not true. And so you end up living in a state of unreality. Unreality about yourself, about God, about other people. You start to build your life on this unreality, which is very flimsy. It's like building on cobwebs or something. Nice Halloween theme. And, you know, the wind starts blowing and things shake and your life comes down. Because actually you haven't been building on truth. The truth. You've been building on lies. So tonight, we're going to ask God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, to set us free from lies. It's a process, but he's going to help us. He's going to help us stop lying and stop believing lies. Does that sound good? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we welcome you here as our teacher. We thank you that you're the teacher, Lord, tonight, and we ask you that we'd be in your class and we'd learn. We would receive from you truth which absolutely sets us free. Amen. The problem is when everyone lies and everyone knows everyone lies, you can't trust anyone. No one trusts anyone anymore. Somebody did a survey in the UK going around asking thousands of people, who do you trust? Who do you trust? And give them all sorts of names and companies and governments and brands. Do you know who came up tops? Heinz! Who do you trust? Heinz. At least I know that when I open that tomato sauce, it's Heinz. It's trustworthy. You know, you open those beans, if it's got the Heinz label on, you know what you're in for. But that's about all, isn't it? Everything else, you can't be sure. People selling you stuff. People offering you things. People presenting things. We're surrounded by lies to the point where we don't trust anyone anymore. We can't trust them. We don't really trust ourselves. We use lies to defend ourselves. Use lies to look better. Use exaggeration to look even better. We're not people who tell the truth. Why is that? Let me tell you. First of all, we need to be set free about lying about God. Because right in the beginning, we were sold a lie. He's the problem. In the Garden of Eden, right at the beginning of humanity, Satan started to tell us lies that we started to believe. Lies about God. God says something. Satan says something else. Now you've got a choice. Who are you going to believe? God said, don't eat that fruit. Don't even touch it. If you eat the fruit, you will die. The day you eat it, you will die. Satan says to Eve, you won't die. God knows that when you eat the fruit, you'll become like God. You'll know evil and you'll know good and you'll know a lot more. So just eat the fruit. It's of course, he was a liar. She chose, amazingly, she chose to believe the devil instead of God, to believe a lie instead of the truth. And that has been the truth about humanity all the time. Let me read you one of the scariest bits of the whole Bible, where the Apostle Paul speaks about man's problem. He says, the anger of God is being revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and wickedness of men, who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. So men are without excuse, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God or gave thanks to him, but their thinking became darkened and futile. And although they claimed to be wise, men became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for things that looked like man or birds or animals and reptiles. Therefore, God let them go that way into the sinful desires of their hearts, into sexual impurity and the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served things rather than the Creator. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned normal relationships with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since man didn't think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. Does this sound like life now? It sure does. Since men didn't think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. Men have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They're gossips, they're slanderers, they're God-haters. They're insolent, they're arrogant, they're boastful. Sounds like the gym. Sounds like the changing rooms in the gym to me. Insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. You listening, kids? They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteousness, that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do them, but they back up others who practice them. Wow. Is there any hope for this world? Oh, thank God, yes there is. Jesus. We might be shocked when sinners sin, but Jesus isn't. Sinners sin. You're a sinner, I'm a sinner, until you come to Jesus Christ. Sinners sin, but the good news is Jesus can save them. Jesus is the Savior of sinners. He's been called the Friend of sinners because only he can bring you out of this maze of lies and darkness about yourself, about sex, about people, about family, about God, out of those lies, 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 to a place of truth, reality. If you were in the 60s and you took LSD, a lot of LSD, which was a drug that caused all sorts of horrific hallucinations, sometimes fantastic fantasies and other times nightmares. And you were constantly having all of these unreality. If I came up to you and said, I can give you a jab here that will just bring you back to reality, would you like it? You'd be begging for me to give you it. Can someone bring me back to just a place of reality? Yes, Jesus. Jesus came to this planet as the light and the truth. He said, I am the truth. And to know me is to know the truth about everything. We have to stop lying about God and believing lies about God. We also have to stop lying to each other. So, you know, Isaiah 59 says they're full of lying and deceit with one another. And that's just the, as it is, that's true. You know, the world is full of lying. And even just not truth, you know. Can I have just 5 minutes of your time? No, you mean 20? Hi, I'm here to help you. I'm a traffic warden. See? Lies. We lie to each other all the time. Answer me this. Just answer me this. For the sake of our marriage, did you sleep with her? No. I didn't sleep with her. You're a liar. You're a liar. You live in a constant state of unreality. And you say a lie long enough and hard enough, you start believing it. You can believe, I'm innocent. I'm innocent. No, you're not. I'm the good guy. Everyone's the good guy. Anyone here worked in prison? I spent a couple of years working in prison. It's amazing. Everyone's the good guy. Well, we're the good guys, right? Us. But the guys on that wing, the sexual perverts, they're the bad guys. We're the good criminals. They're the real bad criminals. I ain't going to talk to the bad criminals. Well, what it is we're the good criminals. But those other guys, a little bit more depraved than us, they're the bad criminals. Everyone's a goodie in their own eyes. I'm a goodie. We lie to ourselves all the time. I'm okay. I'm innocent. Wasn't my fault. We said to one of our kids once, we absolutely knew she'd done it. But we were just asking her, trying to help her come to a place of reality. It wasn't a big deal, but I like him to tell the truth. So, did you do this? Did you? Did you do that? It's squirming. Just tell us the truth. You won't be in trouble if you tell us the truth, but tell us the truth. Did you do it? Well, I didn't see myself do it. Oh, but you did. I didn't see myself do it. Are we going to grow up tonight? Mostly adults in this room tonight. Are you ready to grow up a bit? You're not actually going to go through your whole life like this, are you? Wasn't my fault. I'm all right. How are you? Fine. Well, you think you're going to stand before God like that one day? It wasn't my fault. You won't dare say that rubbish. Wasn't my fault. Not much better to face absolute reality. Actually, do you know what? It was my fault. I'm a real sinner. I have some problems. I have some issues. Jesus, will you save me? People who met Jesus at a point of reality were saved by him. Saved. The religious Pharisees, they went to hell without Jesus because they pretended they didn't need him. Jesus has no time for hypocrites. The word hypocrite means actor. That's all it means. It was from the Greek acting world. A hypocrite was someone who wore a mask on stage and they acted one part, but actually there was someone else. And later in the play, they'd take the mask off, da-da, and reveal who they really were. That's a hypocrite. Jesus said religious people are like that. Religious people who act all as though they're into God, but actually in their own life, they're filthy. Why don't you come to a place of absolute reality? See, Haritha, she's getting up here telling the absolute truth. I came here, my fear levels were through the roof, but God has been healing me of my childhood hurts. I've been working with Jesus, trusting the truth. That's what she's saying. The truth is setting me free. The truth about my worth, the truth about what God thinks about me. And now I'm 75% better. That's truth, isn't it? Is that reality? That's reality. I'm 75% better. Do you know what? 75% is a chunk. You've only got 25% left. That's awesome. Not fully free, but I'm getting freer and freer and freer. That is reality. You need to come to a place of reality. You need to stop lying to ourselves, lying to others, and stop lying to and about God. How? Let's have a look at that other little slide. There's Stuart on there. He took so good on there, doesn't he? How do we stop lying? The first thing is, you must receive the truth. And I've already said that famous scripture where Jesus said, well, there's a couple, both from John's gospel, one in John 8, where Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And he was actually speaking about his own teaching. This is the truth. Can't say that about any newspaper out there, but I can about this. Can't say that about any religious writing out there, actually, but I can say it about this. This is the word of Jesus Christ, and it is the truth, and it has the power to set you free and get you out of this maze into reality. This is reality, because these are the words of Jesus. Jesus said, if you're really my disciples, he had disciples with him, but they weren't sorted out. They didn't really know him, know themselves, or know God. So he was encouraging them. He said, listen, if you're really my disciples, you'll continue in my teaching. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you want to know the truth, you have to continue. You have to start reading and keep reading. That's what I've been doing since I became a Christian. From being a punk rocker, 17 years old, I don't think I ever read anything. I don't even read newspapers. I just didn't read. I wasn't very good at reading, I don't think. And but I didn't read anything, but I've been reading the Bible, you know, as much as I can since that point, and increasingly being challenged and healed and set free by Jesus. Jesus said, I am the truth. That word is an amazing Greek word, atheia. It means real, genuine, actually. Is that awesome? Jesus says, I am the real thing. The real deal. Apparently it's not Coca-Cola. It's Jesus. Jesus is the real thing. He's reality. What's reality? Where's reality? Jesus is the first place to start. Jesus will bring you to reality. When you see Jesus, you see yourself. He says, I am genuine. We speak about the genuine article. Jesus said, I am the truth. I'm the genuine of genuine. I'm not a model. I'm not a prophet sent from God. I'm God here on the earth. Prophets said, thus says the Lord. Jesus said, I say to you. Jesus is God speaking. That's why he's the genuine answer for all truth. Jesus himself. And actually, you know, he is actually the truth. And it's an exclusive phrase. It's like Jesus isn't saying, I'm the truth. I'm the section in the Bible. I'm the section in the library about God. I'm the truth about God. No, it's much bigger. It means truth. The Greek word means truth in its fullness and scope. In other words, Jesus saying, I'm the whole library. I'm the truth about everything. How can you know truth about creation and nature? You can't without revelation from Jesus Christ. How can you know truth about the cosmos and the planets? You can't without revelation through Jesus Christ. Or you'll just get led astray into a load of deception about all sorts of Martians. People worship Martians. Hey, perhaps it's aliens. Well, do you mean God? Yeah, we call him God. It's absolutely ridiculous what people believe. They'll believe anything but the truth. They'll believe anything. Worship anything. Hilarious, all these Hollywood actors. I believe in aliens. What? Hilariously ridiculous. Jesus said, I am the truth. That's exclusive. I'm the truth. There's lots of people who would like you to believe that all religions are the same. They'll tell you that they're just like beans. You know, basically, there's loads of different kinds of beans. And everyone has a different label. There's the Christian label, the Muslim label, the Jewish label, the Hindu label, the Baha'i label. Basically, they're all God. But they just have different labels. That is absolute rubbish. First of all, there's not even the same stuff in the can. Never mind the same label. It's like saying ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, and beans are the same. and you open the, they're totally different. They teach totally different things about God. Islam said that says that there's one God, and he is completely unknowable. You cannot know him. Jesus said the opposite. He said, you will know me. The Bible says they'll all know me, from the greatest of them to the least. You will know me because I'm sending my son so you can have a relationship with me. That's the opposite. That's not like, well, they're basically, no. Someone's right and someone's wrong. Sorry. Oh, but can't they all be right? No, sorry. They can't. Buddhism is uncommitted about whether there's a God or not. It just says, Buddhism is just an escape from suffering. And it says you come back over and over again, as an animal or a plant or a person. And in the end, if you're really good, you become back as a Buddhist monk. And if you're really, really, really good as a Buddhist monk, you'll become nothing. Sounds fun. And so you escape pain. That's all Buddhism is, an escape from pain. So is that the same as Jesus? I mean, is that just beans? It's the opposite. Jesus said, the Bible says, you die once, and after that, the judgment. You live once on this earth. This is your life. Get to know God now. Be saved now. Be changed now. And after that, you face God. You come to God. It's the opposite. Hinduism says there's millions and millions of gods. Millions. And you worship whichever god, you sacrifice to whichever god is going to help you at that time. And that is the complete opposite of what Jesus said. Opposite. People who tell you all world religions are the same. First of all, no world religions believe that. It's only secular people who want everything to be nice. Keep everyone nice. It's unreality. Jesus said, I am the truth. I'm him. He says, of all the ways out there, I'm the right one. Of all the philosophies and ideas about life, I'm the actual truth. I am. Come to me. No one said that. No prophet in any world religion ever said that. They all said, listen to the teaching. Follow the signs. Go to the... Jesus said, me. Come to me. Follow me. Believe in me. Look to me. Trust in me. Because you know why? Simple. Jesus is the truth. He is. He's the truth for you. And you know what? That might be a very scary thing. If you're ugly, you don't like it when the light goes on. If you're scarred and damaged, you don't like it when the light goes on. Should we take the plasters off your face and show you? No, thanks. It's scary. The truth can be very scary. Jesus is very nice and reveals the truth to you gently, doesn't he, Aretha? He reveals the truth to you slowly and gently. He brings the light. Otherwise, you couldn't handle it. That's why why the Bible says, well, actually, it's Jesus' own words. Jesus said, this is one of the reasons people don't come to me. Thank you, Stu. And it says in John 3, verse 19, Jesus said, well, let's start from the one you all know. For God so loved the world, this is Jesus speaking, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe, they already stand condemned because they refuse to believe in the name of God's one and only Son. Listen to this. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. But men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come to the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever wants the truth comes to the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he does has been done through God. Here's what Jesus is saying. The light has come. You could all live in darkness and live by excuses, but not anymore. The light has come. The light of Jesus has come. The truth has come. So now it's decision time. Now you must. If you want to, and this is the judgment, you see. This is the verdict. This who decides who goes to heaven and hell? You do. Who decides who goes to heaven, who goes to hell? In your own life. Listen, friend, you do. Jesus already made his decision on the cross. He wants you saved. He wants you in heaven. He's already paid the bill. But you can choose to pay your own bill yourself if you want. You still have that freedom. Let me pay for you. No. I'll stand before God myself. Okay then. You will. But you, or you can come to the light and have all your life open and exposed. That's a scary thing. But you'll be forgiven and healed and saved. You'll see yourself the way you really are. Not the way you like to be thought of. You'll see life as it really is. You'll see your marriage, your family, as it actually is. And that can be a scary thing. But Jesus is with you and he'll show you the way and heal you because he's light. It's a scary thing to see the truth. But from the truth comes an amazing breakthrough. So you can begin to change and do things. It's easy to look at the world and just hide in our little houses. That's what we do in the West, isn't it? Hide in our little houses and watch telly every night. And just watch telly. And, oh, that's terrible, terrible, terrible. But if you're a real follower of Jesus in this room tonight, he wants to take his light with you and say, come on, follow me. I want to show you some stuff. We're going to change the world together. I want to show you some things. I want to show you the world. I want to show you the job I have for you to do, which isn't sitting in front of the telly and vegging your life away. It's going with Jesus to change different situations. Who's ever been to Dr. Bernardo's second-hand shops, charity shops? Dr. Bernardo's. Maybe you know Dr. Bernardo's story, maybe you don't. Dr. Bernardo was, surprisingly enough, a doctor who was training to be a missionary in China. He'd heard Hudson Taylor preach, and he was absolutely captivated by him. What a hero, spending his life for God in China. That's what I'm going to do. Went to London, started to train to be a doctor, trained to be a doctor. While he's doing that, the Missionary Training Society said, you need to get some experience with people as well. Get into some of the poor areas of London and run some of these little day schools for kids. Teach them some stuff. Help them. Teach them about Jesus. Teach them to read and write. Get living with the poor because you go to China. And he said, okay. So he started running a little. He was a doctor. He was from a reasonably well-off family. And he started running a little day school for poor kids. A little ragged school, they used to call them, for kids, street kids. And one day he was in his room and he finished for the day. It was winter and they were going out. One little lad, Jim Hargreaves, he was called, was stood next to his fire. And he said, come on, Jim, school's finished. You go now. And he said, can I stay here tonight? Thomas, Mr. Thomas. He said, no, you can't, son. No one stays here. Come on, you know, come on, don't mess around. Let's go, let's go. Oh, please, can I stay here? Just stay by the fire. I won't cause any harm. I'll just sleep here by the fire. He said, no, come on, you got to go home. You got to go home. I don't have a home. Stop being stupid. You know you've got a home. I don't. Well, you've got some family, sister, brother. No. Are you telling me the truth, Jim? He couldn't believe him. He couldn't believe him. He was struggling to believe him. He said, what, you got no friends? Nowhere to go? No. Well, where do you sleep every night? In the Haymarket. He said, go on, I don't believe you. Go on, out you go. The little lad walked out absolutely devastated and depressed. As he was walking out, there was a moment when Thomas Bernardo, it was a moment from God, where he looked at this little lad's face and thought, truth? I think he's telling the truth. He said, Jim, wait. He got his coat, he said, show me where you sleep. He walked with him. And he showed him some haystacks. He said, I sleep under here. And he says, on your own? He says, oh, no, not on my own. This little lad had perked up now because he was getting believed in. Oh, no, not on my own. There's loads of us. What do you mean, loads of you? Oh, there's lots. How many? Too many to number. He said, now I know you're lying, Jim. He said, "Oh no, Mr. Thomas, I'll show you. Come with me." They went round the back of this factory and there were some little bricks pulled out of the wall. Little Jim Jarvis climbed up real quick, but Thomas Barnardo was a little bit older and struggled. He helped him get to the very top of this factory. On the roof of this factory, as the moon came out from the clouds, Barnardo saw hundreds of children huddled together in the cold, totally homeless in London. He was absolutely shocked and devastated. It's a moment of truth. He could just gone home. "Go on, boys, out you go. I'm going home, like you do every night, to watch telly." But God helped him over that. He had a moment of truth. Not in China. He never got to China. In London. And he saw hundreds of children. And he started from that Barnardo's Homes for Children. He bought one house, then another house, and started to raise money for them and started just giving just somewhere to live. And he could have six lads in each home, and he was taking it easy and trying to budget it and do it right. He was like a right man who did it right, tried to do it right. But that wasn't big enough for God. God wanted him to move his, I was going to say his butt, but that's not very Christian. He was going to move his issues down the road a bit because there was hundreds of kids. And he hadn't opened any home for girls. He was taking too long doing it right. And one night, Barnardo was out and he collected six lads to go and live in the second house. There's another little red-haired lad called Carrots who was 10 years old. And he was begging Barnardo to come back home with him. And he couldn't take him. He felt he couldn't. He said, "I can't take you. Look, as soon as I get another house, or as one of the lads move out, I'll let you have another. I can only afford 12 lads at the minute. I've got two houses. I've got to do it right. And you know what happened. That night, little Carrots froze to death in a barrel. And it was in the newspapers. When Barnardo heard that, oh, he was absolutely devastated. He mourned for the little lad as though he was responsible for his death. Maybe he was. And Barnardo shut himself away for a couple of weeks, devastated. When he finally came out, he went to this shop and had a massive sign built to put right across both the houses. And it read, "No destitute boy or girl ever refused." And that was the Barnardo's Homes. They saved thousands of people's lives. But he had to come to a moment of truth. "I'm going to China. I'm going to be a missionary." "No, God might have another plan for you." "I'm going to do this. I'm going to get married." "Oh, nice for you. But what about the world? What about this dying world? I'm going to get my issues sorted out." Well done. Please get your issues sorted out. And then get moving for God. Let God bring you to a place of reality, so that you can see yourself, know that you're saved and right with God, then go and do something awesome for God. Receive the truth. Feed on the truth. And I've already said about the Bible, this is the truth. As you feed on the truth, you will be slowly changed. You will be. So imagine a big coffee pot filled with filthy, stinking coffee that's been left to go cold. It stinks. It's been there for years. Welcome to your mind. Our minds have been filled with lies, fed lies since our childhood, through the media, through the devil, through wrong things that go on in our lives. We believe lies, lies, lies. Can our minds be renewed? Yes, but it takes time. How can you do it? Can you empty your mind? That's what meditation will tell you. That's what Buddhists try and do. Transcendental meditation. Empty your mind. Empty your mind. You can't empty your mind. Your mind has to always full of something. It's in reality. Say these words. Transcendental meditation. They'll send you a couple of words for you to keep saying and keep saying and keep saying. Do you know those words are the name of a Hindu god? A demon. So in your meditation, you say in the name of a demon, I'll empty my mind but let a demon come in. Healthy. No wonder you end up with suicidal thoughts and depression. People who do meditation are the most depressed people on earth. You don't empty your mind. You want to renew your mind through the word of God. And as you read the Bible and feed on truth, it's like taking big chunks of gorgeous, clean, super clean crystal ice and dropping them in that coffee pot. Do you know what? You drop the first few big blocks in and you open the tap, you're still getting filthy, stinking coffee. But if you keep dropping blocks of ice in, and I can tell you this from 30 years of experience in my own life, if you keep feeding on the word of God, the word of God, the word of God, the day comes when you open that tap and there's just clean water. Your mind is clean and fresh and renewed. And if any little squirt of coffee goes in, oh, you know. Now that's not true. That's a lie. That's deception. That doesn't taste right. You'd be able to discern right, wrong. That's wisdom from God. You have wisdom from God. You not only make decisions for yourself then, you can make decisions for whole communities of people. You can help people, guide people, put people right, your kids, help them. Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. You can't do that without a renewed mind. But with a renewed mind, you can. Every day, brothers and sisters, read the Bible. When I first became a Christian, my dad threw me out. I was the only Christian in our house. He told me I had to leave home. So I did, and I went to live in a bedsit in Middlesbrough. I was moving from Billingham, so I was going up, you know. No, I'm kidding. And I went to live in a bedsit in Middlesbrough. And as I moved in, Margaret was with me. She was my girlfriend at the time. And it's funny to think of her as a girlfriend. Anyway, but she was a she's a grandma now, but she was a girlfriend once. And as I was moving into the bedsit, Margaret was helping me. Where, you know, we were just new Christians, just filled with the Holy Spirit. And I moved in the bedsit and I took with me my best friend who I'd had with me all my life, through all my ups and downs, my black and white portable TV. We were a TV family. We never had a meal around the table when I was a kid. We were always just in front of that telly every night. And that telly was a comfort to me, I tell you. I come in that bedsit, lonely and dark on a night. And I go over and put the telly on first. It's nice to have a voice. It doesn't matter what they're saying or doing. It's nice to have a voice. Oh, that voice, that voice. Mr. Worldly Wise is there all the time. And I distinctly remember the day the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said to me, get rid of that telly. Get rid of it because it's not doing you any good. And I was going to obey him, so I said, right, I will watch. So there was a lad downstairs. I knew if I didn't do it quick, I wouldn't do it at all. So I unplugged it, carried it under my arm, went downstairs, knocked on this lad's door, came out, and I said, do you want a telly, mate? Portable telly? And he didn't have one, you know. He went, yeah! Grabbed it. And like, no one likes to receive something for nothing, do they? So he went, hang on, mate. Do you want a bedside lamp? He gave me this big tall lamp. I said, yeah, thanks. And I took it upstairs and put it next to my bed and plugged it in so I could have a lamp above my bed, which is good because I was a bit scared of the dark. I was only 18. And I used to switch the light off and run and jump in bed before then. But now I had a lamp near my bed, so it was cool. And I could switch the light off and go. And instead of TV every night, I started to read the Bible. You know what? Honestly, I slept better. I had more peace in my heart. My mind started to change. I started to be less depressed. I started to get some hope. I started to read these stories. I wasn't a reader. No way. I'd never read anything. But I started to read. I started to read. And here's the truth. I still preach today from things God said to me in that bedsit. God started to speak to me. God started to speak to me. I want to encourage you to start to read the Bible every day. Religiously. Yeah, religiously. In a disciplined way. Every day. You must hear from God. Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. If you read your Bible every day, your life will change. Jesus said, if you continue, you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. It'll do its own job. 2 minutes, then we're done. You are awesomely awesome and filled with awesomeness. Well done. He's the last one. Speak the truth. I can't tell you how important this is. I just don't have time to tell you how important it is. Just believe me, it's important. What faith and your life changes as you hear things. Even heard from your own lips. As you sing the truth in church, as you speak the truth out loud, you begin to hear it and you begin to change. Sing worship songs in the car. Speak truth. That's why it's important to go to prayer meetings and pray out loud what you think. If you've never prayed out loud, start to pray out loud in your car, when you walk the dog, when you go for a walk. Speak to God and speak the truth to each other, but to yourself. And out loud, as you speak the truth, it will set you free and help renew your mind as you hear the truth. You will be amazed how speaking affects how you feel. Unbelievably powerful, this. If you say, I feel like no one's with me, guess what you'll feel? Like no one's with you. I'm having one of those days. You will have. No one cares. Not only is it not true, but you'll believe the untrue and you'll feel the untrue pretty quick. Your feelings are like daft little puppies. They just follow your words, your thoughts, and your will. Your feelings follow. So direct them. Get up every day and say, thank you, Jesus, that I'm still alive. Thank you, Jesus, that I've got two legs and two arms. If you've got any more than that, you can thank him for that. Thank him that you've got food in the cupboard. Millions of people don't have any food in this planet. Thank him that you have a bed to lie on. Most people on this planet do not sleep on beds. They sleep on the floor. You are a blessed, wealthy person. Thank God for it. Thank him for the sunshine. Thank him for your husband. Go on. Thank him for your wife. Thank him for your kids. Thank him. Praise him. And you will change. You'll feel different. You'll have hope. Mighty hope will rise in your heart and you'll change. I read early this year about a pastor who was also a doctor and he's working in a mental hospital. He started to work in a mental hospital where there was 200 patients, and he was overwhelmed by the suffering at first that he saw in there. And he asked the Holy Spirit, Lord, what can I do to really help these people? What can I do beyond what we're doing? And the Holy Spirit gave him something really simple. He said, sing the truth every day. Sing a song. And he gave him a song. And you know the song. It's a famous song. And it's just this really simple one. It's Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. We are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Such a simple song. And he started to sing it while he was going around helping people, working, singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus, that first week, nothing happened. By the middle of the second week, everyone in the ward was humming with him. By the end of the first month, they were all singing with him. Singing the truth every day. Jesus loves me, this I know. Is it true? Yes. For the Bible tells me so. It is true. Little ones to him belong. We are weak. Well, he is strong. Yes. Jesus loves me. Some of you need this. Yes. Jesus loves me. Yes. Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. He's the truth. By the end of 2 years, there was only 4 people left in that ward. They'd been healed mentally by the truth. You want the underlying truth tonight? It's this. Jesus loves you.